Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for coming. Can you hear me okay in the back?
Can you speak up?
I could speak up. Okay. I'll try and shout. it's on? Yeah. Okay. Great. I'm very pleased to present to you the results of a qualitative study that we conducted through the Quitline. And this relates to what obese smokers might have to say about the relationship between smoking, weight gain prevention, or losing weight, and actually smoking-related weight gain after quitting. I would like to acknowledge my collaborators and my colleagues at Alere Wellbeing, Brooke Magnuson and Lindsay Miles, and also my collaborators at Group Health Research Institute, Clarissa Sue, who's a qualitative analyst and expert in qualitative methodologies, and also Michelle Levine at University of Pittsburgh. I'd like to also say that for me, Terry Bush, the following personal financial relationships existed in the past 12 months, and that means that I was employed for at least 12 months by Alere Wellbeing, which offers a very minor amount of stock options if employees are willing to purchase them. I've actually been employed by the Quitline, which used to be Free and Clear until about a year ago. Free and Clear was also a Center for Health Promotion and was started at Group Health Cooperative in Seattle. As you're well aware, we're in the midst of an obesity epidemic, which is now gone global. And this is a large population that is in need of help. But what is surprising to us, that is in America, over 9 million adults are obese and they also smoke. And this drastically increases their morbidity and mortality rates and the cost to the nation. Another problem is that recent data has shown that weight gain following cessation is a problem and can increase the incidence of diabetes and hypertension. We know that the average smoker gains between 8 to 15 pounds after quitting, but there's a small segment of population that gains in excess of 20 to 30 pounds. This is a problem because it leads to concerns about weight gain after quitting. In fact, one study showed that 50% of women and 26% of men are concerned about gaining weight. In the Quitline, people who are seeking cessation treatment, this rate of weight concerns is even higher. This, as we know, is a big problem because concern about gaining weight can lead a smoker to not attempt to quit smoking, as our previous speaker has alluded to, even in adolescence. It can also hinder adherence to smoking cessation programs once they attempt to quit smoking, and it can lead to early relapse. Although there's minimal data available on the outcomes among this high-risk population, the studies that do exist in the published literature indicate that obese smokers have lower quit rates and they gain more weight after quitting. The reasons for these poor outcomes are still unclear, and this is why I was interested in this topic. Obese smokers, we know, want to quit smoking, and they actually do call Quitline. In one study that we conducted through Alere Wellbeing or Free and Clear, we found that in among 4,000 people who called one of several Quitlines, 33% were obese, 30% overweight, and about 33% normal weight. In addition, nearly two-thirds were concerned about gaining weight. So we were interested in trying to find out why there was this disproportionate inability to quit smoking among obese smokers. One of the hypotheses we thought could be the comorbidity. We know that obese smokers have higher weight concerns and they're also more likely to have other obesity-related or smoking-related diseases. So comorbidity is an issue for people who have who are overweight and smoke. In fact, in one study, we found that among obese smokers who called the Quitline, nearly 60% reported having diabetes, and that's compared with half of those among people who are overweight. About 30% reported having diabetes, and under 20% among normal weight individuals. In the same study, we found that the people who do have diabetes are receiving more messages from their health providers to do more. So they are probably facing undue burden to work on two very difficult health behavior or lifestyle changes. For example, in this study that among diabetes patients who called the quit line, 89% of them told us that their provider had advised them to quit smoking. Two-thirds were asked to lose weight, and just about half were asked to follow a special diet or to exercise. And this is substantially and significantly higher than those who do not have diabetes. I would like to just highlight that in this study, the people who called the quit line who don't have diabetes, some of them had other chronic diseases related to smoking. Again, the people who had diabetes were also more likely to gain weight. 52% of those with diabetes said that they gained weight after they had quit smoking, and the amount of weight that they did gain was substantially higher than those who did not have diabetes. So clearly, we felt that the needs of obese smokers was understudied, and we felt that more research was needed to better understand the unique complexities of smoking, eating, dieting, and their attempts to make major changes in their lifestyle. And this is why we conducted this qualitative research. We wanted to find out what obese smokers have to say about the relationship between smoking, initiation of smoking, their weight concerns, and weight gain following smoking cessation. So the objectives of the study was to understand obese smokers' thoughts and experiences about quitting smoking and weight. And we did this by conducting in-depth qualitative phone interviews with 29 obese smokers who called two state quit lines. 15 were men, 14 were women, and their BMI ranged from 30 to 48. The study, like I said, was conducted by Alere Wellbeing, which is situated in Seattle, Washington. And we participated with the Georgia and the South Carolina state quit lines. We conducted the qualitative interviews, and then all the conversations were tape recorded, and we transcribed and coded these interviews using crystallization and immersion techniques, which is a specialized qualitative program for analyzing qualitative data. We identified several important themes from this population, and I'd like to illustrate some of those themes that we found by highlighting some selected quotes. First of all, we found that obese smokers understood the relationship between smoking, eating, and weight gain. They recognized the value of quitting and the need for quitting, and also losing weight at the same time. Many of them were taking action currently by either being on a diet, planning to diet, or increasing their exercise. And most of them discussed their beliefs about weight gain after quitting. And some we felt placed them at high risk for relapse or not quitting. And others we felt might be categorized as a healthy acknowledgement that there could be some weight gain. Regarding the relationship between smoking, eating, and weight gain, several viewed smoking as a means for weight control. As an example, by this quote, "The only benefit of smoking is that it causes people to lose weight." Others acknowledged that weight gain would occur. That's one thing that happens when you quit because of the oral thing. You're sticking things in your mouth, so it's usually food. This person also acknowledged that quitting and losing weight were equally important. If I'm going to quit smoking for my health, I should also lose weight for my health too. And this person said, "I really don't want to gain more weight, and I really want to quit smoking, so I'm trying to do both of them at the same time." We felt that this might place a person at increased risk for relapse if they failed, and also may place undue burden on the participant who's trying to quit smoking. Recent research has shown positive and negative outcomes among people who've received health education around weight loss while they're trying to quit smoking, and others have found that combining weight management or addressing weight concerns while a person is trying to quit smoking has no adverse effect on quitting in the short term. but we wanted to find out what these individuals felt about these situations. Some, like I said, were trying to avoid the weight gain by taking action. For example, they said, it's kind of worrying to me, but I know if I keep exercising, when I do stop smoking, it will help with the weight gain. However, through these interviews, we learned that very few of them were physically active. Most of them spent a lot of time in sedentary activity, and when they tried to do more to alleviate potential weight gain, it was generally just to walk. And many people were unable to even walk a block. Regarding their attitudes and beliefs and their fears, this person said, just gaining weight and irritability, that's all that I'm worried about. Another person said, I just don't want to be fat, and I'm not very satisfied with my weight right now. Again, factors that might place them at risk for relapse. In this case, these individuals said, it's bad for your health to gain weight, and it looks bad on you. I am worried I will gain back the weight that I have already lost. And this person said, I gained 20 pounds within 2 weeks after smoking, and it was terrible. This is just one example of individuals' discussion of their prior weight gain, and some even mentioned 30 or 40 pound weight gain. Some people talked about their financial concerns. I'm very tired of smoking. It's $10 a day, so I have got to quit. And another person said they had just lost weight, and they don't have the money to buy new clothes if they were to gain again. This would indicate that this person will probably not accept even a moderate amount of weight gain. Another theme was the habits that they were trying to break. For example, this person says, well, you know, as a smoker, when I get hungry, I want to smoke. You've got that hand-to-mouth motion. And another person said it was very common that the hardest cigarette to give up was that after meals, because it seems to be the dessert. How you would end your meal, how you would stop eating. Another person clearly didn't understand that their other habits, such as drinking a Coke with every cigarette that they had, might have an implications on their diabetes and their obesity and inability to lose weight, especially since most of the people smoke 20 to 30 cigarettes per day. So, like I said, some people had healthier attitudes about their ability to quit smoking and not gain weight. This person said, I'm going to gain it or lose it. Either way, it's not really concerning. Another person said, I would hate to gain weight, but it's not going to start me smoking again. And another person said, I don't much worry because I just can't gain any weight, so I won't because of my diabetes. Another person acknowledged that they'll never be skinny or have a flat belly, like the people who wear bikinis. Another person said, I look at it this way, if they don't like who I am or my size, then they don't have to look. So another problem that we felt might be something to think about for why the smokers who are obese have a harder time quitting smoking and maintaining their weight is the comorbidity, like I mentioned before. This person said, doctors are telling me that I need to lose at least 50 pounds. The last time I was weighed, I was 230 pounds, and then that sort of made me feel bad. This kind of attitude indicates to me two things. One is that they're receiving high pressure to not only quit smoking, but certainly to lose a lot of weight. But also, that it seems that they don't weigh themselves routinely. And as we know in weight loss, interventions, that the best way of maintaining or avoiding weight gain is to weigh yourself routinely. And this person indicates that they only wait until they get weighed when they go see the doctor. This person talked about their comorbidity. My two biggest fears are weight gain and COPD. The fat comes when I stop smoking, and the COPD or emphysema comes with me smoking, so it's like I'm damned if I do, and I'm damned if I don't. But it'll make me happy if I'm able to quit smoking. I'm almost done. Some of the other challenges that came up I felt were really important to highlight. This person said, I'm not so much worried about gaining weight when I quit smoking. I'm worried about hurting someone. I'm worried about being so stressed out that if I don't have a cigarette to go and smoke, I just don't know what I would do. Clearly, a lot of people are using smoking to help alleviate the stresses in their life. This person said, I don't know what foods are good for me. It used to be salads, and now they're saying that that's more fattening. So I just don't know what to eat. So when we probe to find out, well, what could a quitline do to help you? And their number one priority was they really needed help quitting smoking. And secondarily, they would really welcome some conversations or counseling around how to quit smoking without gaining weight. So in summary, obese individuals who smoke have high levels of awareness of the association between smoking and weight, either through prior experience or observation of other smokers. They realize that body weight and weight gain may not be directly associated with smoking. So for example, several individuals said, well, I was fat before I started smoking, and even while I'm smoking, I'm still fat and have gained weight. And I know other people who are fat when they started smoking and they weren't before. So they clearly are kind of teasing these things out in their brains about the association between smoking cessation and weight gain. We also observed quite a lot of variability in their prior experience gaining weight. And most of them expressed the thought that they felt that quitting smoking was the most important thing that they could do. However, they acknowledged that one of the toughest things about quitting smoking was how to deal with the stresses in their life and what to do about the chronic diseases which limited their capacity for increasing their physical activities. So again, we felt that the results of this study might provide some sort of indication about why there's differential quit rates. We know that obese smokers are faced with many challenges, such as their body image, their dissatisfaction with their weight, and their maladaptive beliefs about weight gain after quitting, which can lead to a lower motivation to quit or even confidence in their ability to quit smoking without weight gain. These are all sort of related and intermingled with their acceptance or intolerance for moderate amount of weight gain if they were to quit smoking. Also, the comorbidity is a large issue with this population because it limits their ability to know what to eat because, for example, they may have diabetes, and also because of the obesity-related and smoking-related chronic diseases that they have. We observed that most of these people were trying to diet, but they also had poor knowledge of nutrition and healthy eating habits. Many people were astounded that they were so heavy because they said they only eat one meal a day, and it's usually at night. And lastly, like I mentioned, all of them reported a lack of physical activity and enormous amounts of sedentary activity. So in summary, obese smokers are worried about weight gain, they feel they need help quitting smoking, and they want help managing their weight. So we felt they may benefit if the focus of counseling was on stress reduction, dealing with their chronic diseases, and helping them with their weight concerns. So in summary, I would just like to thank you all for coming, and a special thanks to South Carolina and Georgia Quit Lines and the callers who smoked this, I mean, who called the quit lines. The study was funded by a grant by the National Institute on Drug Abuse. Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
We have about 2 minutes for questions. Please.
United States, yeah.
Have you any information about the psychiatric disorders of these patients, like depression?
Yes. In the study that we conducted in the quit lines, comparing people with diabetes and no diabetes, they had higher rates of depression. In a different study, this is a qualitative study, so we did not assess their depression. In a different study where we looked at characteristics of quitline callers, depression was higher among people who are obese.
In the back. Yeah.
I was wondering if you looked at social support networks and that might have any impact on your quit rate.
That's a very good point. It did come up in the qualitative interviews. And that was one of the themes that I didn't talk about today, because it wasn't as commonly raised. But yes, the social issues around smoking, many of them were offered cigarettes all the time. They lived in households where there were other smokers. They relied upon their other people to go out and get their cigarettes because of their disabilities. Regarding the food, that was also a large problem because, as you know from, well, maybe you don't know, but prior research shows that obese people tend to live with or have friends who are also obese.
There's one over here, yeah. Go ahead.
The average age was similar to Quitline participants, slightly older, but 47, I believe, 44 to 47 years old. We didn't differentiate between males and females in the qualitative interviews. What I presented here was a mixture, so we had men and women who reported some of the similar sort of sentiments.
A very quick question.
Can you talk about the long-term success rates in your population study?
30 seconds or less.
We didn't in this population because we only interviewed them right after they called the quit line, so we have no longitudinal data. But that's a really good question, and we have a paper that we're putting out pretty soon looking at the outcomes by baseline BMI. And I'm happy to talk to you about that later if you like. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.